Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
So I want to talk to you today about the simple subject of the everlasting Word of God. I think that this subject is very important in our generation because so many people are standing on the quicksands of human opinion. They're not standing on the foundations of truth. They don't have anything firm beneath their feet. And so they're giving in to any fable or quizzical thing that comes along that sounds good, is full of experimentation that might bring a momentary sensation or a certain sense of relief or even human ecstasy. But my friend, you need something beyond the human ecstasy of this world. You need something beyond the temporal satisfaction and fleshly gratification of this life. And that's because we are all eternal. Everybody listening to me right now has an everlasting soul. Now, your body, no matter how physically fit you might be, or no matter how physically decrepit you may feel or disabled you might be crippled because of certain things, and maybe there's degenerate discs in your back, or you have arthritis in your body, or you might be in the best shape you've ever been in your life, but sooner or later, this body's going to wear out. It's going to wear thin. It's going to become more and more fragile. It's going to gain more and more, unfortunately, wrinkles. And if you're a beautiful person, eventually some of that beauty is going to fade and your flesh is going to wither up. And at some point, this body, this human body breaks down and it dies because that's the conditioning that sin left us with. That's the fall of man. We are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And that's why we need that new creation experience in God. We need that Acts 2:38 encounter where we repent of our sins, where we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and where we receive that incredible gift of the Holy Ghost. And so we need something that is eternal to match the importance of our eternal soul. Well, that's the everlasting Word of God. I'm sure you've had friends that given you words and you've been amazed by their integrity. But no matter how sincere that friend might be, at some point they have human limitations. Well, let me tell you, my friend, the Word of God has no limitations. In fact, the Bible says the Word is forever settled in heaven. It goes beyond the worlds. In fact, the worlds are upheld by the word of his power, Hebrews chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 and 21 says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And of course, I'm talking about the Bible itself, the eternal word of God, the inerrant and infallible word of God. God is able to secure us, not just in this day and age, but he has always been able to uphold his people by the word of God. That's why when Moses met him at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, God described himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living. And this is something that Jesus even challenged the Sadducees, that sect of believers, Jewish believers, that didn't believe in the resurrection of the dead. He challenged them by saying, "Have you never read where God said, 'I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob,'" speaking of being the God to the living? He's not the God of the dead. And the reason is because his word is alive. And the reason that it's alive in every generation. It's alive through every conflict. It's alive when kingdoms collapse because it is the everlasting kingdom. The word of God is eternal. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that grass is going to wither and the flowers are going to fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. Now, we live in a world that likes to boast a certain durability of things. For instance, everybody's probably seen the Energizer Bunny advertising the Energizer battery. known for its durability, or the fact that one battery is called Duracell. They want to boast the ability to last a long time. Well, obviously that's within reason. I mean, if you use batteries in a particular thing, or if it's in a certain toy or remote control and you use it constantly, well, those batteries are eventually going to run down. Well, my friend, the Word of God never runs down. It's an endless energy. Now, you think about that. It is the creative power. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." Out of God's spoken word exploded suns and stars and the lights that we see dotting our sky in the midnight hours. And so we understand that God's word, or to it, and its durability far exceeds anything man-made, or no matter how clever the inventions are, something may last a long time. You may have a car that you've paid good money for, and maybe you've been able to run that car for 300,000 or 400,000 miles with hardly even having to change the transmission or do very much work on the motor. Maybe you've kept the oil changed. But even at that, at some point, no matter how functional it's been and no matter how durable and lasting it's been, it's not going to be everlasting. It's going to break down because it's made of substances that eventually decay and erode. And even Jesus said, don't put your heart in things that are going to be eaten up by moths and where rust will come in and decay it and destroy it. But we need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, because heaven is eternal and the word of God is eternal. Matthew 24 and 34 through 35 says, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled." Speaking of end time events and prophetic things that have to take place before the coming of the Lord. And then he said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Well, now the heavens have been around and the earth has been around, but he's saying, my words are not going to pass away. I mean, long after the ashes of this world are blowing around in the winds of renovation and the things that we have put our confidence in and the beauties and scenes and sights of a world that we may love now, all of that's going to come to an end, Jesus said. But the word of our God will still be swinging on the hinges of eternal existence, because God's word is everlasting. Now, the reason I keep hammering home this simple point is because, again, so many people are giving themselves over to newfound doctrines, to these things that have cropped up in a humanistic hour, things that might be attached to technological advancements or scientific discoveries, or even things that are based on a theory of evolution. Now, think about that. People would actually put the weight of their eternal souls on a theory. My friend, Jesus said that when you are filled with the Spirit of God, you're filled with the Spirit of truth, not the spirit of a theory. This is not a theory that Jesus is coming again. It's not a theory that when you're born of water and of the Spirit, you become a new creation in Christ. It's not a theory that you have a better way of living when you sell out to the Lord. Buy the truth and sell it not. It's not a theory that when you have the Spirit of God working on the inside of you, it's righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And it's not a theory that Jesus is coming again. He is coming again. And someday this thing that we believe in as Christians as a matter of faith will be a matter of fact. So we believe in this everlasting word because we know that there is stability in it. James tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And to be double-minded is to be two-spirited. Well, that's the vacillating problem of this generation. They jump back and forth. One day they want to believe in God, and the next day they don't want to believe in God. One day they're angry at God, and the next day they're crying out desperately to him. That's two-spirited, spiritually bipolar, if you will. They can't seem to make their minds up. Well, when you have an experience with the Lord, and when you understand the power of his everlasting word, then you won't be fooled by the foolishness of men. You won't be easily deceived by the trickery and treachery and sleight of hand of religious charlatans in the last time. Now think about this. The Word of God, from the very beginning, even of Adam and Eve, this oral tradition of handing it down generation to generation was so protected and so precise, given from the time of our father Abraham to his son Isaac, down to his son Jacob, and eventually Moses coming along, and they begin to record these words and to write it down. And of course, we see in Deuteronomy 17 and 18 through 19, the word says, "And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom," speaking of the kings of the future, "that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." Deuteronomy 31 and 9. "And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel." So now, this Ark of the Covenant was just not about the presence of God, which certainly that was the most important, but it was also about maintaining and preserving the principles of God, the Word of God, the commandments of the Lord, these things that had been written down. And so the Ark of the Covenant was this place to hold that written word of God. And so Moses commanded in verse 10, saying, "At the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing." God established through Moses and this written covenant, and that which was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, this very important understanding that the law was to be read word for word every 7 years. Not only that, but children were learning this every day. They were memorizing scriptures of the first five books of the Bible, which would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the Torah, or the Pentateuch. And they would internalize this so that as children grew up in a Jewish society, they didn't have to second guess what they believed. They had the word of God in them. It wasn't until future generations, when people began to go after idols and fall into the seducing doctrines of other nations just because they needed to sign peace treaties with these nations and felt like they had to have military security from these nations, that these laws would be forgotten. And this daily devotion to the Word of God and this 7 year reading of the law had been laid aside. It had been forgotten, but it was established from the very beginning here with Moses and the Levites in the Old Testament that the Word of God is everlasting. And if you get that in your system, for Israel, it would bless them monetarily. It would bless them agriculturally. It would bless them militarily. That's why the psalmist said, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God," because it's the word of God that would reveal the protective hand of God, especially with the children of Israel at the Red Sea, when that Red Sea was divided and all of that Egyptian army was destroyed, swallowed up in that Red Sea. And the everlasting word is what reveals that, and what is what brings to remembrance the understanding that we have to build our lives on something that doesn't just fade away, something that just doesn't wax cold. The Word of God's not going to wax cold. It's a consuming fire. It's the very essence of God himself. And when God spoke his word, his spirit moved with that word, just like going back to Genesis chapter 1. When the earth was void and without form, the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the deep. And that's when God began to speak and light exploded forth. And so later on in time, there were these scribes, and scribes were very relevant in the time of Jesus. And Jesus got into debates, or the scribes tried to debate with Jesus, but scribes were very important because simply, they were the ones that were very meticulous about copying the Word of God from parchment to parchment. And so much so that later in time, especially around 700 AD, there was a group of Jewish scholars known as the Masoretes, and they developed a system to accurately transmit the Old Testament to future generations. And they wouldn't even allow one word or one letter to be off, and everything had to be written in exactness. They couldn't just do it from memory. They had to look at these words, they had to say it out loud, and then they had to write it down as they were saying it out loud. And if there was one word or one thing that was off, one jot or tittle that was off, that entire manuscript was discarded. So that shows the meticulous, very detailed orientation in which many approached copying the Word of God and translating it even into other languages. There's a carefulness here. And one of the things that really stands out about that, if God was very meticulous about how the Levites from the beginning and the scribes were to translate the Word of God and to be true men of integrity when it came to copying the Word of God from manuscript to manuscript, how much more meticulous would he be with our plan of salvation? That's why you have to understand that the everlasting Word is not full of trap doors. It's not full of multiple choice lists or alternative routes. There was one Savior that died on a cross. That means there's one plan of salvation. He didn't say we are the way, the truth, and life. He said, I am. Jesus Christ, in his name, which is above every other name, gives us a very meticulous message, because the gospel message is not just good news. It's more emphatic, and it's more descriptive, and it's more detailed than that. Accurate, and it's exact, and that's why the scripture teaches that the gospel of Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15 is very plain to see. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so no man comes to the Father but by me, is what Jesus said. And that's why in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter telling a crowd that was amazed at the healing of the lame man at the gate called Beautiful from Acts 3, he says to them, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. 2 Peter 1 and 16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. These were the things that Peter would talk about, would write about. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So the everlasting Word of God, yes, has men who were writers of it, but there's only one author, because these men were moved on by the Holy Ghost. And the canon that we have today, known as the Bible, has been given to us by this meticulous process throughout the centuries to give us the Bible, to give us the Word of God, so that we can have a confidence that the things that we read about in the Word of God are not fables, they're not fictional stories, they're not metaphors or allegories, they're not just the clever writings of Jewish scholars. It's the Word of God, and you can bank and invest your life in it, because when you concentrate on the Word of God, when you begin to think on the things of God that are virtuous and full of praise and truth and honest, it changes the way you think. I challenge you, just try it for 30 days. Read the Word of God extensively, not just a few verses, but get several chapters into your mind. Let it roll around in your thinking. Let it get embedded in your thoughts. Let it plant itself deeply in the way that you perceive things, and see if not after, even after 30 days, if it doesn't change the way you think. It will help you to be more positive. And I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking only, but that original thinking comes from the Bible, because nothing is more positive than faith in the Word of God, because out of that faith, people can be healed. Out of that faith, New jobs can open up out of that faith. Your finances can get better out of that faith. Your relationships can grow from conflict to true unity and love and peaceableness again. And the impossible can become possible because of the word of God in your life. And you think about it, there was a time when people used to believe that the world was flat. And a lot of people go back to give Copernicus in history the credit for telling everybody that the world was not flat, but that it was round. And yet all they had to do was go to the 2,500-year-old manuscript of Isaiah and read in 40 and verse 22 that God is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. And that word circle there isn't talking about a flat circle that you might draw on a piece of paper, but that's spherical. So it means it's upright and it's globular, just like what our world is. And of course, God knows what he's talking about. He created the world. And far before telescopes were invented and microscopes are invented and people can look into the human body and see cells and use electron microscopes to get down to such minute detail or stare millions and millions of miles out into space with these powerful telescopes, all they needed was the word of God. And then it used to be believed that the world sat upon four pillars. I mean, very educated people in the times before Christ. That's some of them believe that. That was their superstition or that was their traditional belief. And yet Job could have settled that for them in Job 26 and 7 when the scripture said, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. And so here's the idea, you know, that obviously we learned in grade school and elementary school and growing up in an educated society here in America. We learned that the world is on this invisible axis, and all of that was told to us in the Word of God. And so people like to use science to try to discount or degrade the Word of God. My friend, the Word of God is what created science. There is no science if there's no Word of God. There's no world to even study about if God doesn't speak it into existence. There are no stars to study for astronomers to even dream of sending their satellites out millions and millions and millions and billions of miles away to try to gather data and take pictures of something so far deep into space. Well, none of that even exists for us to even observe or dissect or study or try to get some kind of educational theory or opinion on if God didn't speak it into existence. Now, I want you to think about this, friend. If it's the everlasting Word of God that spoke these things into existence. In fact, Jeremiah 33 and 22 says, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Well, it was once believed that there were like 1,080 stars in the sky. And then somebody else might have come along in the future and say, oh, no, I think there's about 10,000 up there. Well, now we understand there's millions and millions and millions and millions. You can't even count them. Even the most intelligent, scientific, educated astronomers of our day cannot even affix a number on the stars. And yet the Word of God told us this thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, my friend, think about this. If God can be that accurate over a course of time to prove to you, like Psalm 100 says, his truth endureth to every generation. There are timeless truths that can fix any problem in the world. Jesus Christ, if you will, was a carpenter's son. He took two beams, two pieces of wood, if you will, from Calvary, and he fixed every problem in the world because he did it as the everlasting Word made flesh. He can fix your problems today because his Word is not limited by time. It's not limited by human experience. It's not limited by promises that can be made. You know, you've heard the term overpromise and underdeliver. That's not God. He won't do that to you. His Word's everlasting, and when he speaks something, he speaks it with truth. Now, he's not going to tell you something you want to hear if you want to have sin. But my friend today, if you want deliverance, you can trust forever in the Word of God. It's been days without a tap, too many lies.
This is Natalie Hood, and if you enjoyed today's message and want to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.com. At thejesusmessage.com, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much, much more. Also, Reverend Danny Hood has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God do, in His timing, what you never thought possible. Another encouraging book entitled Hope, an Anchor, will encourage you that no matter how difficult the storms of life become, Jesus offers an anchor of love, power, compassion, and peace. It will secure you in the deepest waters and most traumatic times. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcome tragic, traumatic, and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. Again, in this book, Danny Hood visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible and contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath, in a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly inspiring books today.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.